Okay, there's a writer that I know, and I won't mention his name. But he was meeting Steven Seagal for the rewrite, for the writing, potentially, for Under Siege 2.
Right.
The, you know, and that was the one that broke him when it made $57 million, when that was $57 million in the early 90s. And so he goes into one of those trailers, you know, to meet with Steven Seagal, and he's on the set, and it's one of those big triple bangers where you go into this trailer and it's like you can get lost in there. It's a maze of pop-outs, you know. It's like, which pop-out is Steven Seagal? And he's in the third bedroom to the left and the end of the
big star.
And he's waiting in there for 45 minutes. He's making him wait, sitting there by himself. Finally, Steven Seagal emerges from one of the other anterooms in the mobile home. And he comes out and he said, "I just read the greatest script I've ever read in my life." He goes, "Really? Who wrote it?" "I did."
Hey there, action fans. Thanks for joining us once again in the Action Room. And I'm Tony Wolf.
I'm producer Mike.
Woo! We always got to have some clapping at the beginning of the Action Room. And as you know, we are Geek Culture Radio and some video, too. That's our new phrase. And we've got new shows for you, fresh radio-sodes, TM, every Monday and Friday. Join our growing Facebook fan page fans and follow us on Twitter. We're having some great exchanges and conversations with fans, professionals, entertainment people, comic book people on Twitter. So join the party. It's like a party line.
And it's all going to be archived at the, what, the...
Yes, the Library of Congress, you probably heard or read, is archiving every single tweet. I hear they're giving special attention to, like, you know, real tweets, but...
Yeah, we are real tweets, Tony.
and you can always download our show if you want to take us on your iPod, iPad, messaging device... IMP3 player, IMP4 player, etc. And after the break, of course, we will have, as always, the nerd news. And we've got a lot of things to talk to you about. But before we do, we have a very special kind of surprise guest.
Like, he just walked in 5 minutes ago.
He just strolled into the Action Room studio. I can't believe it.
Guest, do you want to say who you are?
Hey, geeks. This is Steven Seagal. And you may be aware that my show, Steven Seagal, Lawman on A&E, was recently canceled due to some personal drama that you may have read about. So I needed a place to hide out, and I thought the Action Room would be a perfect place, since no one listens to this show.
So we heard your show was canceled because of a scandal involving a sex slave? I mean, what is this, Steven? Sex slave? Come on, talk to us.
You know, the term sex slave has become such a negative term in society. I'll have you know that in ancient China... to be a sex slave was considered an honor to die for. I'm a very spiritual person, and I trust that the world's vibration and my lawyers will find a true balance and restore order to all things. But most importantly, my career.
So, Steven, I mean, thanks for joining us. You know, this is a geek show. Now... you know, Hollywood these days are approaching a lot of big celebrities to be superheroes. Have you been approached?
It's funny that you mention that. Producer Mike, I'm in talks to play the role of Apache Chief in a Super Friends movie.
Wow, that's amazing. That's awesome. Well, good luck to that. So you want to just hang out with us and talk geek stuff?
I think you nerds have got this thing pretty much under control. I'll just, help myself to something in your fridge.
All right, thanks, Steven
Seagal.
Wow,
Steven Seagal, ladies and gentlemen, on the Action Room, a truly historic occurrence.
Wow.
Well,
joke's on him. I don't have anything in my fridge.
The Action Room fridge is pretty bare. Maybe a bottle of water at best, SS. All right, so in the world of Action Room developments, we just wanted to give a shout-out. We had done that Tiger Woods spoof video last week where Darth Vader has a stern talk with Luke. And a website that we very much admire that I found out about on Twitter about 3 weeks ago ran a little piece about our video.
They got it.
They really understood the concept. The site is youbentmywookie.com. I noticed it because I thought it was one of the greatest titles, greatest names for a website I'd ever heard.
And read the little blurb about what they say about it when they posted it.
Well, they were very kind. They said, ever since Nike aired the Tiger Woods commercial using cut and paste of his dead father's voice, there's been countless spoofs that have, for the most part, been misses, more misses than hits. Until we came across this one from the Action Room featuring Luke and the voice of his father Anakin, Darth Vader. They said it was brilliant. They said, file this one under another. Why didn't I think of it first?
And this is exactly what I wanted it to... You know, this was for these types of people who would totally yes. get it, and they got it. And
very
that's awesome.
nerd-oriented.
So if we're ever, you know, disillusioned by the fact that we're doing this for no money, and we're making no money off of it, it's nice when people actually understand what we're doing.
Yeah,
and
much respect to YouBetMyWookie.com. It's a great site. Check it out. Also, I really... It's almost like this vague analog title of, you know, you raped my childhood, George Lucas. And there's a phallic thing about bending the Wookie. I don't know. I just think it's great. And the word Wookie is just an intrinsically funny word always.
Bend it like Beckham?
Bend it like a Wookie. So thank you, guys.
And another place that totally supports us.
Yeah, there's a site also that I've respected for years. I've read Rich Johnston's sites. He's had many sites through the years. The current incarnation for the last 2 years is called BleedingCool.com. Because he's a Brit, you know, and they say bleeding instead of bloody this and bloody that. So anyway.
So we did a Mocha coverage, Scout Durwood, her, you know, coverage of Mocha. And everybody loves it, and he posted it.
Yeah, so thank you, Rich Johnston. He gave it its own little story segment. I read BleedingCool.com every day. We really appreciate him. And he was talking about how he didn't see much coverage about Mocha beyond, you know, a couple podcasts or our show, and that was about it. And just in general, he was surprised that there wasn't more coverage from such a big, massive indie event.
And so if you want to check out all those videos, go to our YouTube. And we will have now this new one that we'll have when people check it now is the Molly Crabapple interview that I just did. She was awesome.
Down to her studio.
Yeah, originally we were supposed to interview her at the Mocha event, but it didn't work out. And I'm glad it didn't work out because then I was able to actually do a piece on her. And she's a really cool girl. She's, you know, this attractive kind of burlesque model slash artist who has started off this Dr. Sketchy event where people drink and draw, right. you know, life drawing and stuff like that. And it's blown up all over the world and stuff. So, you know, I went to her studio, which is this enormous place downtown in the financial district,
right.
with her boyfriend, who's another absolutely amazing artist.
John Levitt or Leavitt?
Yeah, he's awesome. And so she was super cool, super nice. And so check out the YouTube to see the piece on her.
Right. She's also got a graphic novel, which I believe is called Scarlet Takes Manhattan.
And she's got some other ones. She's got a webcomic for Activate
yes,
coming out.
She's on Activate
as well.
And
she has an animation that she talks about, too, in the clip. So,
oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
So I guess we can now take the break and go to Nerd News.
All right. We'll take that break. We deserve a break today at McDonald's.
I hope Steven Seagal found something because... He's going to be a little angry if he's not eating anything.
I'm afraid of an angry Steven Seagal at this point. All right, so we'll be right back.
So I thought we'd start with a death because we like to talk about dead people. And
well, there's sadly in the past 5 months there's been a lot of celebrity passings.
Maybe this is the end of it because this is a celebrity nobody really knows. But
right.
the music that we came in from was from Typo Negative, Black Number One,
which is a '90s band.
Yeah, this is very early '90s, kind of the era of like grunge. But they were kind of more Danzig, gothic.
A little gothy. Yeah.
And the guy's name is Peter Steele. He was a Brooklyn-based born singer. From Type of Negative, and he died at 48, and he was 6'7".
6'7".
Tall
wow.
guy. Even taller than you, Tony.
Wow. I'm 6'2 and 3/4". You know, producer Mike just showed me one of the videos from Type O Negative with this guy, Peter Steele, who just passed away. I know he's goth, but he kind of reminded me visually, with the tall, gangly height and the long hair, of the lead singer of Crash Test Dummies, also.
Mm-hmm.
And his voice was also like...
Same era, pretty much.
Yeah. Although Crash Test Dummies was like, Bare Naked Ladies goes alt,
oh, totally,
even more
yeah.
alt, or whatever.
It shows how varied pop music used to be, as opposed
yeah,
to now.
Yeah,
you know?
Sadly, it used to be a lot more
but
alt.
Let's get into the... Even though that was Nerd News, let's get... Well, it wasn't really, but right. let's get into Nerd News.
Nerd News.
Okay, so lots of items this week in the Nerd News. We'll just go through these quickly. The first being the Avengers movie. It's much talked about, much anticipated. Marvel is getting all their chess pieces in place. You've got the Thor movie, Captain America movie coming out, all this stuff, Iron Man 2. Well, everyone's been wondering who's going to do the Avengers. Years ago, there was talk that Jon Favreau might direct an Avengers movie. He then later said, oh, I just want to executive produce. I don't know if I could do the whole directing thing. They've been in talks. They were in talks with the guy who directed the Hulk movie, Louis Leterrier, or whatever his name, last French name is. He was in talks, but the big candidate this week that's been talked about, and it's confirmed that he's in talks to direct and rewrite the Avengers movie, is none other than Joss Whedon. Now, I know...
I didn't realize it was coming up so soon. It's
well, it's
next
2012
year. They
say Avengers.
2011.
I don't think that's right.
June or July 22nd for 2011.
I don't think that's right. Captain America is slated for 2011.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. I'm reading the wrong thing. Go ahead.
No, Avengers is 2012. When the world ends, the Avengers movie will come out.
Well, I was just going to say, don't you think then in that case it's a little early to... They'll probably get somebody else, I think. I don't think they're going to keep Joss. I think he's in talks now and they're not going to stick with him, personally.
Well, but Joss loves comics. The reason Joss became a writer is partly because of comics and... There's lots of Avengers references in the original Buffy series. He used to have the Buffy cast go, Avengers Assemble! Like, a lot. That's, you know, their battle cry. Because every comics team has to have a battle cry.
I mean, the thing is, it's like, I'm not familiar with him enough to like or dislike. I just know the things that I've seen I haven't really been a huge fan of. And I also think his just, I don't know, his style just seems very 90s and very old school, kind of over the top.
Well, you were
stuff.
Saying his style seems like it's sometimes a little too cheesy or a little too humor oriented.
And this new era of comic book movies are just more realistic
and
darker, kind of
but
true to life and stuff.
I think you may be underestimating Joss Whedon. I'm a Joss fan. I didn't really care too much about Dollhouse, but Firefly is amazing. Serenity is great. Buffy and Angel I thought were terrific shows. And he wrote a stream of X-Men comics. 3 years worth or 2.5 years worth for Marvel, they were terrific comics, and they didn't feel snarky. They didn't feel like...
Still, a comic is a comic, and a movie is a movie. And I would have to say that, you know, he is a candidate. He's on the list. I understand why they're picking him or talking about him.
Right.
But I think there has to be somebody better. And
well,
I'm
but
hoping...
you yourself don't know his work that well, so, you know.
I don't, but what I've seen, I don't like.
Right.
So.
All right, so we'll see. And you know what? That discussion that we just had pretty much embodies... The entire discussion that's going on in the fan community on the internet right now. Roughly half are like, Joss is amazing, what's the problem? And the other half are like,
right.
You know. So the other casting news is that in the Captain America movie, they have their lead actress, their love interest for Cap. She's a British spy in the British Resistance in World War II.
Now this
she
is,
plays Peggy Carter.
This is a good thing. This is a good casting decision, I feel. Whereas before, you know, like, who's the one? They said a few people, Keira Knightley
I never
Blunt.
Wanted to see. Emily Blunt I never wanted to see. Alice Eve I thought would have been great.
Alice Eve, I mean, maybe. She might have been good in terms of knowing the character from the comic book.
Right.
But I personally am not a big fan. I saw her, and she's okay. She looks like that girl from Sarah Marshall, who's the
forgetting
one.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Yeah, I forget.
Kristen Bell,
Kristen
really?
Bell. It's the same kind of, like, Barbie doll.
She's more glamorous than Kristen Bell,
yeah,
but in any case. But this woman looks, she's beautiful,
yeah,
but she also looks like she could realistically be, like, a spy. And she also looks, I think they also might have picked this woman, Hayley Atwell, because she almost has a bit of a period look.
Mm-hmm.
And she's done, like, Brideshead Revisited. She's done, like, you know, 18th century dramas. So to put her in a World War II thing, she kind of looks like, it's almost like Kate Beckinsale looked in Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's a good movie.
Right.
But you want someone who looks like a beautiful woman of the 1940s. And it's a bit of a specific look.
Now this is for 2011 release. And a term
Captain America.
A term I hadn't heard before is it lensing.
Lensing, oh, I've
Lensing
seen that.
Is set to begin.
That's in Variety magazine. That's in Hollywood Talk all the time.
That's funny.
Mean when they start filming it. There's a
Totally. I just never heard that term before.
It's a cool, you know, it's a cool Hollywood term.
Tony, when are we going to start lensing? That's what I.
Well, we're lensing in about 4 weeks, and then it almost sounds like pregnancy, like she's dilating, lensing. Also, I just want to say as a PS, action fans, what do you think most people in the comic community think the subtitle of the Captain America movie is dumb? The First Avenger.
Now that's funny,
Captain
because
America.
Originally I mentioned that, and you were like, no, that's not the title of it, that's just who he is, but that actually is the name of it.
I know, it's kind
of
dumb. I mean, I think they're trying to set up, A, that he's the leader of the Avengers, B, that in the chronology of Marvel, he is really one of the first, if not the first. You know?
It really seems unnecessary. I think
that's there for the average Midwestern filmgoer who doesn't care, or just anywhere else in the country who doesn't follow comics.
Yeah,
I think they're thinking that that will help tie into the Avengers movie.
But you know what? Who's going to care about the Avengers movie when they don't even? It's not even going to come out for another year beyond that.
I know. But they're setting the word Avenger out there in connection with.
But by the time
America.
The Avengers is about to come out, people are going to be all excited and know who Captain America is. I think Captain America, that name, is enough of an interesting. It's more than Iron Man was. You
I
know?
Agree. I think it's kind of silly and unnecessary. I was just trying to explain what I thought their marketing strategy was, but I think we both are thumbs down on the first Avenger. Subtitle or prefix.
Yeah, I don't like it.
And also, it was a big week in comics today. We'll just say very briefly, Brightest Day number 0 came out by Geoff Johns, which it was terrific. I was so stunned. I mean, I expect great things from Geoff Johns, but this was extra good. Beautifully drawn, beautifully written. It's about 12 sort of B-level characters from the DC Universe who have been resurrected as a result of the events of Blackest Night, the Green Lantern crossover. And it was just full of great character work. It was terrific. Another big Geoff Johns book that came out this week is the rebooted Flash number 1, which brings back Barry Allen, the Flash from the 60s and 70s. He's now the main Flash. And Wally West has kind of taken a back seat, which some fans are very pissed off about. But anyway.
What's the premise behind that? They take turns or something? What?
No, Wally. Okay, I'll try to condense. The challenge for me on this show is to condense it so that if you don't know comics, you'll get it, but it also doesn't take me 15 minutes to explain. Okay, Barry Allen was the second Flash. The first Flash was like in the 30s and 40s. He got older, he still flashed, but he kind of retired. Barry Allen was Flash from the 50s, 60s, and 70s in our world, you know. And then he died in Crisis on Infinite Earth, sacrificing his life, as a comic hero should, to save the universe. And then his kid sidekick, who was Kid Flash, grew up and became the Flash. He, took over. So Wally West, who was Kid Flash, graduated, became the Flash, was the Flash in DC for, 15 years of our time. And most fans loved Wally West, but there was this real nostalgia among comic fans who were above 30 or 35.
So how did he come back?
They brought him back through some convoluted time travel.
Oh, okay.
The Force. It's almost like Mark Waid came up with this thing called the Speed Force. And it's like the Force in Star Wars, but it's all about the characters who have super speed.
Right, right, right.
So it was almost like he sacrificed his life to save the universe. And because he did that, his spirit was like in the afterlife in the Speed Force, just kind of floating around. And he's such a noble spirit that the universe felt it was time for him to return from the afterlife, from the Force, the Speed Force. I mean, it's comics. Yeah, so that was the explanation.
Relatively speedy explanation. Okay.
Right, so because the Flash has got to be speedy. So he's back now, and the thing with Barry Allen also in the 50s, he was a forensic science crime investigator for the police.
Okay.
And it's funny, in the 50s, that was kind of a nerdy thing to be, like a forensic scientist
now
for the police.
Cool.
And Geoff Johns said one of the reasons... I mean, Geoff Johns loves Barry Allen Flash. Mm-hmm. Also, Geoff Johns loves all the Flashes.
Okay, we're getting a little long now.
Geoff Johns loves all the Flashes. I just said Geoff Johns. But... Geoff Johns did say shows like CSI and all those shows, they've made it cool to be a forensic police scientist, so now that's what Barry Allen is. So that's the new Flash book. But with the Green Lantern books, they came out with actual little toy Green Lantern rings that they come free when you buy certain books. If you want to buy them, they're like $1.99.
So now the Flash wears a ring, though?
Well, this is the Flash ring that came out. I'm holding it up to the mic. You can feel it. You can feel the Speed Force. Anyway, so producer Mike didn't know about the Flash's ring, and he goes, what, he wears a ring? No, he doesn't wear the ring in costume. He wears the ring when he's in normal civilian clothing, because the idea, and this is totally insane, of course, but it's awesome because it's comics.
Yeah, let me look at your ring here.
His costume is inside this front part of the ring.
Okay, that's retarded.
It's compressed. The entire costume, it's super dense, molecular, whatever. Yeah, it's from the future.
Right.
Someone from the future gave it to him.
Right.
So he presses a button.
Steve Jobs made it.
Steve Jobs in 2039 made it. It pops open. The ring immediately naturally expands the costume.
Okay.
And he puts on the costume at super speed.
I hope
so. This is what he keeps his costume in.
I hope if they make a movie, they change that.
Oh, come on. It's awesome.
Did they do that for the TV show?
No, they did not.
Good. So they're
not
going to do
didn't.
It.
At least from recollection, I don't think
it's
it is.
It's a cool ring, though.
It's a cool
That's
ring.
That's what it should stay.
And it's also great because Flash and Green Lantern, which Geoff Johns has made so successful, they're like the major, I don't want to say B characters, but and they each have rings. And also another book that Geoff Johns loves that he's revived recently is The Legion of Superheroes. they have rings, too, that give them the power to fly.
Well, that makes sense.
They have a little
sense.
L logo on them, the flight rings. So it is kind of funny that in the 50s, and it's funny, all these ring concepts, they came out in the 50s. And I think it's because in the 50s, kids wanted secret decoder rings.
Sure, of course.
Like
yeah.
with their cereal. You know, you can get this cool ring and be a superhero.
And nothing's changed as an example of your
right.
happiness
but
for having those
it's
rings.
It's definitely not something that would come out today. Like new right. superheroes today, they don't wear cool rings that do cool things.
Right,
it's
right,
a very
right.
like 50s idea. So anyway, I'm nostalgic. I'm a geek. I love the Flash ring.
It's a nice ring, but it's not a suitcase, Hollywood. So change it up in the
where
movie.
Where you put your costume. So that's it for the nerd news, and I believe, are we done with the
We're
show,
done.
Producer Mike?
Oh, wait. Hey, he's back. Steven Seagal's back in the action room.
Hey, guys.
Oh, wow. Steven Seagal.
Steven, what are you eating? There was nothing in my fridge.
Well, since you didn't have any food in your fridge, I noticed your cat.
Oh, no.
So I put your cat in between two pieces of bread, and I ate your cat.
Man.
Oh my God, Fluffy!
Well,
Fluffy.
All right, good luck with your sex scandal, Steven. And
thanks.
All right, I think that about wraps us up. We're gonna mourn the loss of our cat here in the action room. And
I like how suddenly we're roommates. We live together.
Well, I visit, and it's your cat.
It's our cat, Tony.
Okay, yes, it's like bosom buddies or Three's Company here. All right, maybe we're going to have to sue Steven Seagal for
watch it,
know,
watch it.
Loss of a cat.
Back off.
Okay, well, I guess we better wrap it up. So thanks for all your support, Action Room fans. It really means a lot to us out here in podcast land. And check us out on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, check out our YouTube, and we'll always want to support you. Thanks for your support, and I'm Tony Wolf.
I'm Producer Mike.
And this is Steven Seagal of the former Steven Seagal, Lawman series on A&E, saying, "Inek Chalk."
Oh, that's what the Apache
chief
says
on
yeah.
Super Friends.
But what does that mean?
It's translated in Cherokee, and it means I should have returned Stallone's phone calls, so I could have been in the Expendables movie.